sense of power in his hands. Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top, so we can know your story.
Seconds out of the hour of 11, and this is the month of November. In the year of our Lord 2006, thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and cozy studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. It is Friday, and welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well. It is Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. It is 3 minutes after 11 now, which means that we are about 4 hours and 3 minutes away.
From your first drink of the day.
Yes, from the time you all begin destroying your livers. Your liver has another 4 hours to live. Cherish them.
I believe doors open at 2, do they not?
I believe right around 2. So theoretically, you could be drunk. You could be completely socially responsible within 3 hours. You could be divorced in 4. Just get cracking. Finish your work now. Finish your work. Fabricate excuses. If you need me to call your boss, I'll do it. If you need me to get you out of work today, I can take care of that too. Let's offer to do that today. If you need us to call your boss today and to explain that you are not going to be able to finish your final couple hours of work, if you need us to convince your boss to go with you, we'll do that. Tom Likas, live at Barracuda this afternoon, 3 to 7, today, be there. This afternoon, Barracuda. What?
Did you split the scissors? Oh, oh, my God.
I didn't know where.
I thought you were playing the scissors.
I thought you were playing the scissors.
And you weren't anywhere near your computer. That's Tim.
Tim is just holding up a pair.
Is somebody going to bring these to the party?
That'll be
a lot of fun, won't it?
How could that go wrong? That seems like a good idea.
We could do the Mean Girls thing where you pull up the front of your shirt and cut out a little hole.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, let's absolutely do that. Let's cut somebody's hair. Let's cut Juliet's hair.
Make them ugly.
Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. Tom Likas, this afternoon, live from Barracuda. 3 to 7. No ticket required. No drink minimum. No call in advance. No VIP. No nothing. Just be there. Be 21. Grab your ID. Be there 9 Northwest 2nd. We will all be there. I got to figure out how the hell we're going to get there. Because our show goes to like 3:06.
I'm not walking.
Is it raining outside? Is it raining where we are?
It's rainy with like torrential wind out there.
It's going to start raining the moment we walk out the door,
man. And I drove today. This will be the last day I complain about how long it took me to get to work. But I took an alternate route today and it still took me like 45 minutes. Why? Because people can't deal with condensation. Bitches. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. Like us today. Live 3 to 7. Scotty's asking if we will take him with us. No, we will not. Anyway, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. We'll talk more about Likas here in just a second. He was on our show yesterday, and then I don't know if you heard. I don't mention it now because I'll get sidetracked. I'll mention it here in a few. Let's find. Wait, hold on. Where's my sound effect? Let's see. No, that's wrong. And there we go.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Yes, I understood your joke, Scotty. I'm not going to say it, though. And putting the joke in quotes and all caps on the screen is not going to make me say it. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Mailman Chris, our official stenographer. How are you, sir? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I need to pick up the phone. Hello, how are you?
Do you have to put a dollar in the jar for that?
No, here's the thing is, in the last 2 weeks, we've spent about half the time in this studio and about half the time in the other studio, the Movin' 107.5 studios. And that studio is the best of worlds and the worst of worlds. It's the best of worlds because it's kind of big and it's spacious and it's roomy and I think the mic processor is a little bit newer, so we sound more imposing and masculine. And there's also a big pile of 80s music there, but on the other hand, the equipment isn't really what we're used to, and it's not that it doesn't work, it's just that we don't really know how to operate it, and I'm reliant upon people back here in this studio to turn the phones on. And so it's just as soon as I get acclimated to the studio operating one way, it operates another way. Anyway, whatever. So here we are, and hello, how are you? Are you working today? Are you cutting out early?
No, today's my day off.
Now, did it work out that way, or did you request a day off?
Well, today is supposed to be my day off, and I'm supposed to work my day off. Most times I have to go in and work my day off. And
that doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, it's long story, but
okay.
I usually volunteer before they draft.
Yeah, so it's like a walk before they make you run kind of a thing.
Exactly, but it's a lot of money to work my day off, so I don't mind.
All right.
But because of what's going on, my son's home, so I needed to be home with him today. But my wife does get off early on Fridays, so if she gets home early enough, I maybe get on the mats and making my way down to Mr. Bear.
This seems like an awful long story.
Seriously. My way down to the Barracuda.
Now, what time is it? First of all, I have to correct you. It's not the Barracuda. Just like it's not the Batman. It's just Batman. It's just Barracuda. And if Fred Myers has no S on the end of it. Just so everybody is aware of that.
The Donald?
The love of God. It is the Donald, though. But it is not Fred Myers. It is not Nordstrom's. Just quit saying that. That's not really the direct.
It is no longer Myron Frank.
Directed to the people. It's Macy's now, right?
Yeah, the Macy's.
Thanks for bringing by things for the Christmas.
If you look them up on the Google.
Who was it that just said the MySpace the other day? It was somebody that I swear to God I would never expect to say this. It was like Ryan or Barrett or somebody. Somebody was a young person. Well, I was sending out a message on the MySpace, which is genius. So here's the thing. As Yoda would say, try not. Do or do not. What time will the wife be home today?
I think she's probably home around 3.
Well, there you go, my brother. And so you're taking the max because you may have some tipple, as my grandmother would say, and you don't want to be in the position of having to drive home, of course.
Or walk.
Because we know that walking, not that you would know anything about this, but of course walking from downtown Portland to 120 Street is, that's a long way.
That's a very long way.
I would estimate that takes, how long would you estimate that takes, Chris?
Well, I walk every day, so I would say walking that distance probably take about 2 hours.
That's a very specific guess.
A mailman must know.
That is true. No, it really is true. All right. Well, let's see. Here's what we got today. We didn't get to it yesterday. The worst story ever, which includes the phrase, her eyeball was completely flattened.
Oh, no. No.
Eyeball.
Oh.
What it was flattened and in a manner that we might call...
Which way was it flat? Was it flattened,
complete,
horizontally or...
Does it really matter?
Probably.
Which would you prefer?
I don't know.
Which one? I mean, really, doesn't really make any difference to you? Your eyeball's flat. And it's like if your lung collapses. It doesn't really matter which way your lung collapses. That was the worst story ever. And we didn't get to it yesterday. Now, we will still do it today. But here's the thing is, it's been outstripped. Just in the last 24 hours, it's no longer the worst story ever. Story that's worse. And we'll get to it today. As a part of, I believe, we're going to get to our news that hurts. So here's the thing. So the worst story ever, which is no longer the flattened eyeball. The new worst story ever contains the following phrase. She looked so cute, I just wanted to take her home. So you just think about what context that might be in. So that'll be the worst story ever. That'll be inside news that hurts today. Let's see, whatever else we got here. We got the Lisa Goddard's going to join us from CNN later on in this hour. And here's the reason. She's probably just talking about the same election crap, but here's the thing is that I have the audio from that campaign ad that my opponent wants to hook probes up to the private parts of young girls, or whatever that campaign ad. So we're going to play that for her today. I am not guaranteeing this. I'm going to say we're going to try to get to, before Halloween is like weeks in the past. We tried to do a Halloween top five on whatever Tuesday. We ended up doing a top one because we couldn't find any of the other songs. The only song we played was Timothy, I think. I do have DOA by Bloodrock, though. We have a guy who actually brought DOA by Bloodrock. Raise your hand if you know DOA by Bloodrock. You know Tim? I'm amazed at that.
Back in my younger days, yes, I might have heard it. Walking down the hallway of another radio station.
Blood is running through my hair. So we'll try to play that. And so forth. Oh, and we'll play more embarrassing cuts from Scotty J's air check. Just because. So there you go. That's it. And then like us at 306 live today.
All right. So two stories. A double worst story ever.
Yes.
Lisa, yes, Goddard, and Scotty J's air check.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's it?
That's it. I'm not...
You're under-promising, so you can over...
See, there you go. You could work in sales. You could be an AE. As the salespeople say, I am managing expectations. That's what I'm doing today.
Now, when are you leaving for Barracuda?
You know, that's a good question, actually. In fact, to answer that question...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
You guys look like little twins today.
Thank you so much. That's
did you plan this?
That's what I like to hear more. Yes. And then he's going to pin me later. And I'm going to wear his varsity jacket.
I wanted black and he gave me red, so.
He wants you to look like him, Scotty.
Yes.
He's raising you to be a little Rick.
You're going to be exactly like that Scott what's-his-name guy that was with Liberace. The next thing is you're going to get plastic surgery to look just like me.
Oh, no.
Did you ever see that story in the E! True Hollywood Story? I know that sounds redundant. Did you ever see the E! True Hollywood Story about Liberace?
No.
It's the best, creepiest thing ever. I'm not going to let myself get distracted by this, but Liberace had a young male companion, and as time went on, the young male companion it was given to have plastic surgery every few months, and the goal was to make him look exactly like Liberace.
Oh, creepy.
It's the creepiest thing you have ever... And it's true. It's not like an urban
legend.
You'd kind
of like it if someone got plastic surgery to look like you.
We should totally make that as a station contest, a wacky bit. We find a trend.
Like any of us?
Plastic surgeon? Yeah, you. Make you look just like Scotty. No, but I mean a listener. We trade out with a plastic surgeon, and we say, look, now, like, we'll fix something else that's wrong. Like, if you're missing a hand or something, we'll fix that. But as a trade-off, you have to look just like me when you're done. You have to have my face at the end of it. Scotty laughs. He's finding it funny.
That's because you guys are twins.
I'm going to have Scotty stand in the studio and laugh at everything I say.
I think it's funny, but I wouldn't want to be that guy. That's for sure.
What are you saying?
No disrespect.
Oh, no, of course. None taken.
The matching shirts are weirding me out.
Scotty and I are wearing matching AM 970 shirts today. Now, here's the thing. These are red. There's only like five of these. The ones that say staff on the back of it are red. I had some Weasley sales guy come by my office this morning. He was like, well, where can I get one of those shirts? And I said, in the on-air booth when you have a show. And then he went away. So Scotty and I are wearing it. We're wearing the matching AM 970 shirts. Tim is looking very dapper, though. Tim looks better than all of us.
Well, you never know when news is going to break out. And since we're out in public, I could have to run down to the city morgue or something like that. And I have to be dressed appropriately.
Really, all you need is like a press pass to put in the brim of your hat. And then like a jalopy that you can fire up out front. So anyway, and then Sarah is looking very nice. Well, now you had that shirt. Now can I reveal this?
No.
Oh well, never mind.
Wait.
I was gonna say you had it.
Oh yeah, this. Yeah.
What did you think I was gonna reveal?
We'll talk about it off the air.
Didn't you tie it?
No. My friend Jay actually sewed the insides, the sides of it to make it tighter
to accentuate her bosoms. That's really what the shirt has been modified to do.
It's so huge, though.
It's huge because
it's a little bulky. I feel like a football player because the shoulders are really big, but now the waist is a little smaller.
We just have these big black unisex shirts, and I think medium was the smallest they went or something. And so Sarah put it on. It was like a tent. So she had to. Was it a guy who did this?
Yeah.
A man?
Yeah, my friend Jay, he does upholstering and work
upholstering
on...
Upholstering and t-shirts.
No, for cars.
You wait.
He works at a body shop.
Okay.
So he does, upholstering. He does good for himself.
Sure.
And he, it's absolute perfection.
He's really got
a gift.
No.
Okay. And he's not ashamed. I told him, Jay, you're a very good seamstress. And he's like, thank you.
Just want to dance. Anyway, so we're all wearing the AM970 shirts, although Scotty and I do have the same pants on almost, and we're wearing the same laminates. It is kind of creepy, actually. So here's the thing. Today, because Lycus comes on at 3:06, and we are doing our... So here's what I'm thinking. Is it like a 2:45? We got to rustle up a cab.
Earlier than that.
Yeah, I guess, because I drove...
This is a rainy day. We should perhaps call way ahead of time and schedule it.
Yeah, well, Scotty will do that. And so the deal is...
You know how to call a cab, Scotty.
I think we'll...
Internet.
I think we'll get a cab here, and then, Scotty, you... Because Kirk is coming in a little early around the board, like 2:30. So you can hang out here. You'll be on this microphone, and we'll be on the cell phone, and you can count us down to when Tom is starting. So the deal is we can do... This will be gripping for everybody who's listening. We'll do the last section of the show maybe on cell phone as we are headed to Barracuda. And then you can be counting us down time-wise, and we'll just talk right up to when Tom starts.
I'm calling window. I'm not sitting bitch.
I don't think that's ever been done before.
No, ever. 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 Not sitting bitch.
Maybe I'll call about 2:30 then.
Yeah, in the middle.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. I forgot you were there. What does sitting bitch mean?
Bitch means like you're sitting in between, in the middle seat, when you don't have a window.
Well, I'm calling shotgun then. Yeah, your face.
And Tim and I will both have windows. It'll be glorious.
Fine. Have your windows.
I figured we should all sit in a row, though, because if we're all going to be on the air chatting.
Maybe. All right. Well, we'll figure it out. All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there you go.
So I'll call at 2:30 then.
Yeah, call around 2:30.
Call 2:20
probably. We're gonna, we got to head out early today. Yeah, because I want to be there. Yeah, cause, I mean, we'll be there eventually, but I want to be there at the beginning of the show. It's always great when Tom walks out on stage for the first time. It's just cool. You know, I've been in radio for long enough that I should just be bored by these things. You know, I should just be jaded by all of this stuff, but man, it's cool. You hear the theme music, and it's a thing you hear on the radio every day, but you hear the theme music, and then you look up, and it's like, in your brain, you have that cognitive dissonance where your brain is trying to reconcile. It's like when he was in the studio with us yesterday. Well, I'll talk about that in a second. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for you today, for your edification.
There's been a triple homicide in a very nice Washington County neighborhood.
That's I'm terrible.
The hungry get ready for a shipment of 170,000 pounds of peas from Oregon farmers. One of the nation's top gay-bashing evangelists, Ted Haggard, admits to some indiscretions. Following accusations, he had a 3-year affair with a gay prostitute and did drugs and made salacious phone calls. Remember, the CBS family turns 90.
He is a man of God. Not the member of the CBS family. Well, he might be, too. So that's all coming up today. All right. Chris, we will check in with you around 2:30 or so.
Will do.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. See, I was nice.
You were.
All right. This is the thing, is that we talk so much about TV and radio, you just get so, jaded and embittered and blackened about everything. But, like, yesterday, you get that weird, that thing where you're sort of outside yourself for a second, taking in the scene, and it's like, there's Tommy, you hear the voice coming out of the radio every single day, and it is bizarre sometimes when you look, and, there's the voice coming from, 3 feet in front of you. It's like when Tina Yathers, it's exactly like when Tina Yathers was here. It's just, your brain is trying to get itself kind of in gear that way. So, and it's the same thing when you go to, you see him or anybody, you do the show live, you hear the theme music, and then he walks out on stage, and there's this cool time. So that's happened
today.
It's
like radio days.
I
watched it again last night.
The Woody Allen film?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's weird because I watched radio things.
No,
by
that
Woody
can't
Allen
possibly be. Because I watched it last night.
Hi, we're 12 years old and girls. Okay, well.
So we can both watch it on the same night.
Without
mentioning it beforehand.
I watched a documentary about Jerry Seinfeld on the road when he erased all the gold. Is it the one where you erase all the gold?
Forgotten. With
material?
With Ornery
Oh,
Adams.
My God. I hate that guy so much.
Yeah, you'll be happy to know that he was just here at a minuscule club a couple weeks ago and nobody went to see him.
Thank God. I wanted to rip out my hair. I had to turn it off. That guy was so pompous and annoying and not funny. I wanted to scream.
Yeah. You know, Comedian is, that's the movie that One Man trailer is for.
That's the only thing I knew about.
Comedian is a great movie. Mm-hmm. Comedian is a fantastic film. But that
about the Ornery guy.
Donna Mike had him on actually a while back, and just like, and they was like, "Why are you such an a-hole?" And he was, "I don't know, I was edited unfairly." But clearly the guy is just obnoxious. Mm-hmm. But he was at the Hawthorne Theater a while back,
imagine that
a poorly attended performance, I believe. So anyway, that's a great movie though. No, I've had Radio Days, the Woody Allen film, sitting on my TV for a while. I actually sat down and watched it last night. Mm-hmm. It's the best movie, man.
Yep.
And you don't have to be in radio to appreciate it if you're a radio fan, a radio enthusiast. I have never seen a better depiction of capturing that magic of radio, except for probably American Graffiti. American Graffiti does a great job of capturing what it's like to be a radio listener. And then, I know, I'm getting so sidetracked here and we're getting all mushy and whatever.
I should have brought it up.
No, it's because, you know, but that's, look, I mean, today, if not now, when? If not me, who? Because today,
live broadcast nationwide.
That's what I'm saying. The likest thing, and many people have seen it before, many people haven't, so if we're not going to talk about it today, then when?
Mm.
That American, Sarah, you've seen American Graffiti, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that scene where he goes into the studio and he, you know, are you the Wolfman? No, I'm his assistant. And then later he looks in and he sees the silhouette of him through the window doing his, you know, who's inside the Wolfman radio thing. That, and it's so great and cool. There is another fantastic film by Joe Esterhaas, which is a movie that's a sentence you don't really hear a lot, called Telling Lies in America with Brad Renfro, I believe.
Is that the kid that's high on drugs now?
Oh, that was the crazy kid in
In Apt Pupil, I think.
Apt Pupil, man. That's the movie I was thinking of.
It's him and Kevin Bacon. And Kevin Bacon is like a hipster's 50s greaser DJ. And Brad Renfro becomes this, like, the Scotty J. He becomes the sort of go-bitch, no offense, for this DJ. And it's a whole lot of the 50s. You know, it's the great Alan Freed era, and it has that great moment where the kid is walking in the front door of the radio station, walks down the hall, he hears the voice, and there's this great thing that happens in radio stations. I am now resigned to the fact that I'm going late in this opening. There is this great thing that happens in radio stations, and it is a sound. Tom was talking about something like this a while back when he moved on to the studios. He was talking about carts, and nothing sounds, a cart is like it looks like an 8-track. And it's a thing that they used to play commercials off of, and now they do it all digitally. But it was like an 8-track single. Think of it that way. And when you drop it on the floor, it makes this sound that nothing else sounds like. Nothing sounds like a cart being dropped on the floor. There is a sound that you hear in radio stations that you don't really hear anywhere else. And here's what it is. It is the slightly out of phase or echoed sound of the broadcast as you walk through the lobby or from one part of the radio station to another, and you hear the live broadcast happening on the air, and then about a quarter of a second later, you hear that broadcast being piped into like a bathroom or the kitchen or the lobby, and it's this weird sort of ghostly echoed sound of the radio broadcast, and you only hear that in radio stations. And there's a great moment in Telling Lies in America when the kid walks in the front, he walks down the hall, and then he looks in, and there's Kevin Bacon doing his show in the booth. I mean, it really is a fantastic film. So the point here is that radio is pretty much the goddamn coolest thing ever. And Tom Likas is going to be doing it live this afternoon at Barracuda.
And if you're there, you will be part of a nationwide audience. How often does that happen?
Seriously. I mean,
live.
That is the cool thing from coast to coast. From Miami to Seattle to Portland to L.A., you will be heard everywhere. So it's badass, man. Zippy. What kind of a man calls up and his name is Zippy? Is he wearing a pinwheel hat?
Maybe he's just fast.
it's just an adjective. Well, we got a break. Zippy, hang on, Zippy. Maybe Zippy, hang on.
Maybe he's not Slim Jim or Roly-Poly.
So you went one way, and then I went the McCoy's way. So we'll take a break here. We'll come back with a man named Zippy, as well as Lisa Goddard from CNN. Later on, we got Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Scott Daly's going to step in this afternoon as well. And we have an exciting treat for those of you who are longtime listeners of the Rick Emerson radio program. Pleased to be staying there. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 3 hours and 35 minutes away. Tom Likas live at Barracuda, downtown Portland. I should have to read this email really quickly. He says, Rick, wanted to say the interview with Tom yesterday was fantastic, especially his story about how he started out in radio. You could also tell he's a total pro and didn't try to talk the whole time, but let you ramble on like you always do.
Also, yeah, I wish there was a camera, because I was like sitting there, I'm like, stop talking, let Tom talk.
I know, gosh, what are you going to do? Tom, you're great. I always, it's like I'm going to try to be all cool with guys like that, and then I just don't. It's just, I get him in the studio, and I'm just like, I love you so much. It's like my thing with, I don't think I have this, or I'd play it, but it's my interview with Henry Rollins, where it's the opposite, actually, where it's like I'm just so clearly terrified of him and just so in awe and just completely intimidated. The whole time I'm just like, Henry, I... and I just have nothing. My talent stays home in a box that day. Anyway, he says, I thought it perfectly encapsulated your show when you had one of the 10 most influential talk radio personalities in the world on your show, and you had a caller that literally had farm animals mooing in the background. Genius. All right. On that note, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Lisa, how are you, sister?
Well, for you.
I'm sorry, hello?
I'm well. Oh, no. Do we have the problem again?
No. I think that was just, I think you were buried under the strains of W.G. Walden's West Wing theme there.
Yes.
All right. So we are now coming. So what? We're 4 days away. Five. What is it? It's Friday, right? So Tuesday.
That's right. Depends on how you count, but basically 4 days.
And so before we go any further, I just got to remind myself that I have this great thing to play for you, and it's sort of a follow up to something we were talking about the last couple times you've been on with us. And I can't even really take any credit for this because it's really just the people. The listeners, they find this stuff because they know that we love it and they send it along. We had first Joe Lieberman attempting to sing along with his own campaign jingle and failing. Then we had that Joe Lieberman's jingle in its entirety. And now, have you seen and or heard this ad? It's Paul R. Nelson, and he's running against his 5-term representative in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district. He's running against a guy named... What's that?
I don't know about this ad.
He's running, Paul R. Nelson, and he's running against 5-term U.S. Representative Ron Kind, who's a Democrat in the Wisconsin's 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, and I swear to God, I have to preface this by saying that this ad is completely real. It's not fake. It's not the fabricated. This is the ad. So is my computer turned up? All right, so we'll go ahead and play. This is the audio with visuals to match, I might add. To this ad that has been taken out by Paul R. Nelson in Wisconsin against Ron Kind. Here we go.
With our servicemen and women facing death every day, what kind of congressman would try to gut military spending? The wrong kind. Ron Kind. That's right. Congressman Ron Kind is repeatedly voted to deprive our troops of the funding they need to fight for us. But Ron Kind has no trouble spending your money. He would just rather spend it on sex. That's right. Instead of spending money on cancer research, Ron Kind voted to spend your money to study the sex lives of Vietnamese prostitutes. Instead of spending money to study heart disease, Ron Kind spent your money to study the masturbation habits of old men. Ron Kind spent your tax dollars to study something called the bisexual, transgendered, and two-spirited Aleutian Eskimos, whoever they are. Ron Kind even spent your tax dollars to pay teenage girls to watch pornographic movies with probes connected to their genitalia. Ron Kind pays for sex, but not for soldiers. If Ron Kind had better priorities, he wouldn't be having to hear this. Ron Kind is out of touch, and soon he'll be out of Congress.
I'm Paul R. Nelson, and I approve of this message.
He sounds really normal as well.
Yeah, if that does not encapsulate the vision by our founding fathers, then I don't really know what does. If that is not the absolute embodiment of American values, then, I'm just gonna wash my hands of this whole fading republic, Lisa. So, there you go.
I'm fully flummoxed.
You're fully flummoxed. It sounds like, never mind. There's a crude joke there that I won't even... Let me just say, though, that
I mean, there's just no words for something like that. And I think it was just yesterday we were talking about, you know, about politics and how ads have just become more and more pointed and shrill to sort of cut through the noise. But really, never in my wildest imaginings did I imagine that I would be playing something like that on the air. But there you go. So never let it be said that Rick Emerson doesn't care, Lisa.
Well, the one thing I do know about that race is that that seat is considered a safe Democratic race, which means Ron Kind is everyone thinks he's going to take it, but who
well, I mean, and good, because it sounds like he's got important work that he's doing.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, Vietnamese prostitutes, you know, constituency.
Perhaps the demographic of Wisconsin is a little more cosmopolitan than I give them credit for. Who's really to say?
We'll find out.
I don't know. And so you were just, and speaking of Republican challengers, well, you were just talking actually, and she's actually not a challenger, but Deborah Price. And her whole thing, Deborah Price is from Ohio. I know that she's on record now. She's trying to push herself not just arm's length, but really like a football field length away from George W. Bush and Iraq and so forth. And my question is not so much why they're doing that, because I think everybody knows. My question is, does Karl Rove keep a small black book of people who have distanced themselves from George W. Bush or the Iraq War or the administration during an election? And then if/when he stays in power, he just has lamb's blood put on their door or something?
You know, they definitely keep track of who sides with them and against them, not just on Iraq, but on anything. And you're right about this Deborah Price race. She's really interesting. I went out to Ohio to check out her race because she's the number four Republican in the House. So she comes right after Hastert, Boehner, and Blunt, and then her. She's a top-ranked woman in the House. And so this race, however, she is fighting for her life. She is neck and neck with her competitor, Mary Jo Kilroy. So I end up hanging out with Price as she tours this candy factory. It was Halloween, and they're going for the photo op on that. And afterward, she seemed, she knew that the crews were there to interview her. There were three of us there. Interestingly, one television crew from Norway, trailing her. And she interviewed with me last, and I asked her about Iraq. And I want to play what she said for you, because I want you and your listeners to decide if I was out of line or kind of gauge her reaction for yourself. So here's basically what happened.
All right.
What's happening in Iraq is not a direct reflection on me. What's happening in Iraq?
A member of the House leadership.
Let me finish it. Yeah. Okay, no, that's all right. Okay, thanks.
Damn.
Yeah. So basically, and there's a little bit more of that, but basically, I interrupted her to say, "But you are a member of the House leadership." She had said, "What's happening in Iraq is not a reflection on me." And I it was one-on-one. So the truth is, I really could have been more graceful and waited for her to answer and then followed up, but I was surprised to hear her say that, so I said, well, but you are a leader of the House, and that's when the interview ended.
Well, and here's the thing. I'm not when it comes to journalists, I shouldn't be confrontational for its own sake, because then you just end up looking like some sort of a bad imitation of Sam Donaldson. But then you're chasing after Air Force Two or whatever as a helicopter takes off, and you're trying to wrangle a final quote out of Ronald Reagan by hanging onto the door.
Right.
But by the same token, it seems like what happens more and more is they just want to get on there, and they have the pre-prepared answers that just sort of spool out of their head. You know, and anytime anybody puts them off the talking point, that's when they just go nuclear about it. And it does seem, and this is not a partisan observation, this is simply an observation that I have as an objective observer, it does seem like this administration, it's not just that they don't wish to cooperate with the press, but it's like the whole idea that they have to answer questions just angers them. It angers and infuriates them.
Well, I think there's a lot of tactics. I think, they did a good job, the administration, at the beginning of the Iraq War in really boxing the media in by saying, you know, you all are biased, and so the media was sort of falling all over itself not to be biased. And because of that, the administration probably got some pretty decent press. And now everyone's trying to find the right balance. But I think with Deborah Price, I was just stunned. I really felt like when a leader of Congress says the Iraq War does not reflect on them, I felt like that justified a follow-up. And again, I could have waited, and perhaps I should have. I do think reporters are often too rude and we give ourselves a bad name. But I was very surprised when she ended the entire interview right away.
Well, you know, and I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm just jaded or just suspect the worst of people all the time. But it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, it's just one more log in the fire. It's one more log on the we hate politicians fire in this country. And it's not just that politicians are bad. It's that 90% of most people, 90% of everybody is bad. But the idea that somehow when you're the number four person ending the Iraq war, I have nothing to do with that. I was in Cabo when that whole thing happened. So I think really we could do with people being a little more prickly and intrusive when it comes to talking to politicians. So,
yeah, you have to say, doing this whole election tour was a little disappointing. Price's competitor, Mary Jo Kilroy, the challengers, I feel like, you never know how scripted they are. You're hoping that you run into one of them that just really kind of doesn't know what they're doing and is going to just be genuine with you. And so her makeup was a little smeared. It was late at night. She looked a little haggard. I said, hey, how are you doing? How are you holding up? And she's like, oh, we're excited. 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
She looks like hell.
Fantastic.
We're excited. Disappointed.
Well, the next time she gives you any guff, you can just smack her on the side of it. Just cuff her a little bit. Tell her the Rick Emerson Show said to do so. Okay. Tell her that the Rick Emerson Show does not want to tolerate any more for her tomfoolery. So.
Can I tell you a secret, though?
Yes.
To make myself feel better after covering these campaigns, I actually went online and read about one of my favorites in a strange way, former Soviet republics, Turkmenistan. And so we could be much worse off. Their leader there, a dictator who has closed all the hospitals outside the capital and built a solid gold statue of him that turns to face the sun.
That's fantastic.
I thought you would appreciate that.
Well, we're actually on the... Here's a little thing you don't know about us. On the Rick Emerson program, we're actually plotting, and this is completely true, we are plotting to buy a small Oregon town.
That's great. Let me know what I can do.
Now, there's a small Oregon city called Otis that is for sale, and we're going to buy it, and it's going to become the glorious a worker's paradise of Emersonia. And I am going to, King Nebuchadnezzar style, I'm going to create a gigantic statue of myself in the middle of the square that all people must kneel before or be cast into a furnace.
Well,
so,
you need to check out President Niyazov of Turkmenistan. He's renamed some of the months as well after family memories.
See, but I mean, like, you gotta respect that in a way, because that guy, he's just upfront about it. You know what I mean? What are you going to do if you're elected? I will torture and then kill my political enemies and put them on spikes on a road leading to our capital. I mean, he's upfront about it. Also, I do love the fact that you go home and you relax at night by looking up Turkmenistan and the political goings on there, which I think is fantastic.
It's great, but we all kind of feel better.
It is. See, so we're all winners, Lisa Goddard. All right, and over the weekend, be thinking about your questions for Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek.
What day is that again?
That is next Wednesday.
Okay, fantastic.
So, I don't know if you're at work that day or whatever, but, I mean, just let us know.
I'll be here.
I mean, we should, because he is here to talk about, I mean, it's a film, but it is kind of a political film. It's about Robert Kennedy. So, I mean, we should, I don't know, depending on when he's in and depending on if you're on the clock or not, we could actually just patch you right in with him.
Oh, that would be amazing. I'd be up for that.
Well, there you go. He'd probably like to talk to somebody from CNN anyway.
Best for you.
All right. Lisa Goddard, we will be in touch. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you next week.
All right,
there you go. Lisa Goddard from CNN. There you go. Fantastic. I dig her. Her phone was acting a little wacky, but you know what? The content was worth it. I love the fact that... Did you hear how great that was? That she's talking to Deborah Price. And how, like, the woman doesn't want to answer the question, and Lisa just, man, horns in and just gets up and leaves. And what's doubly great is not only that she did that, but then that she then chose our program to avenge her frustration. That's what the Rick Emerson Show is. The Rick Emerson Show is a place where everyone can come and let their hair down and feel that they can air their grievances. And that she goes home and relaxes by looking up political happenings in Turkmenistan. How hot is that? And by hot, I mean professional and admirable in the journalistic sense. We're going to talk to a man named Zippy here in a moment, but first I have to tell you that during the entire Lisa Goddard interview, Sarah Dillon was repeatedly picking up her bagel, sniffing it, squinting her eyes and looking at it in a puzzled fashion, and then putting it way back down on the...
It smells weird.
It's just a bagel.
I can't smell it.
It's just a...
No, because I meant to hit the...
Smell your bagel.
Well, I meant to get the plain one, and then I accidentally hit the button one more time, and the thing opened, so all I could grab was the
tar-flavored bagel. Okay, hold on. Let me just hand me the bagel. Okay, first of all, this doesn't feel like a bagel. This feels all spongy and wet.
I know.
Are you sure this is a bagel?
It's a bagel. It's the cheese. It went through the hole.
I don't know what they told you this is, but it's not cheese. Hold on.
It is.
Hold on. Oh, that is an odd smell. Oh, oh, that is an odd smell.
Should I eat it? All I have is a dollar. I don't have any more money. I've got to eat this.
Well, here's the thing. We have two, and this is gripping everybody at home, I'm sure, but we have two food machines here. We have the food machine in the kitchen, which dispenses, you know, like M&Ms and the whatever. And then they got this so-called fresh food machine by the back, by the K-Hits people. First of all, everything in that back, in that machine in the back by K-Hits, I'm not saying you shouldn't eat it, but I am saying that they're doing a lot of work with open cans of paint and paint thinner and solvent filling the air back there.
That's what's a little weird tasting. It kind of tastes like paint.
Kind of a hint of Krylon? Yeah. It does seem likely to me that anything you're eating out of that machine probably has been saturated by a bunch of ammonia fumes wafting out of a paint can. That's just a theory. I can't say that that's true. Second of all,
who to have food?
I don't, they have bar food, I'm sure. And I think they actually have a full menu. You know, here's the reason I plead ignorance to that, because whenever I go there, it's always for something like this where I just forget to eat. I just go there all jacked up on caffeine, and then I'm just spend the night, whatever, talking to people or, you know, doing the show. So I don't think I've ever eaten there, but I'm almost positive that they do. Tom Likas is going to be live at Barracuda today about 3 hours and 25 minutes from now. 3 hours, 25 minutes from now. Do we have the, I guess this is me. I guess I have this over here. Wait, hold on. We're going to do a little news that hurts, and then we'll take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Let me see if I can find the... By the way, inside today's installment of News That Hurts, there will be the worst story ever. Page one. A retractable dog leash was banned nationally in Britain today, but it came too late for 19-year-old Queensland girl Louise Hyatt. Louise lost a sight in her left eye after her Woofa's brand dog leash snapped back and hit her while she was walking her dog in January. She said, quote, "It hit my eye, and then I saw lots of gooey stuff, and it hurt really badly." Despite being rushed to Brisbane's Queensland Eye Center, Louise lost the eye. Quote, "Her eyeball was completely flat. It had no form at all," end quote, her mother said. Anyone owning a Woofa's brand dog leash is urged to throw it away. Page two. Dateline Jacksonville, it was a violent Halloween trick in the Empire Point neighborhood. Three men wearing masks rang the bell at the house and said, "Trick or treat." When 67-year-old Ronald Langley answered the door, they shot him directly in the face. Ashley Robinson lives just down the street. Quote, "I'd just been opening the door with my 1.5-year-old and doing the trick-or-treating thing," said Robinson, who is inexplicably alive. Robinson says she probably handed out candy to 40 trick-or-treaters last night. None looked suspicious, but now she's worried. "It's very strange. I'm surprised to hear it happen," said Robinson. Page two. Long Island. A former teacher accused of possessing child pornography and running a website devoted to the cannibalizing of school children was actually a caring and devoted teacher who wouldn't harm anyone, parents told a federal judge on Wednesday. Michael Kelly Rainier, 46, pleaded not guilty last week to federal child pornography charges in connection with images investigators say they found in his computers. He also ran a website devoted to stories and recipes about the eating of children. Page four. Man accused of mailing severed cow's head. A hunker man, this was in Pittsburgh, a hunker man received reached a plea agreement earlier this week after being charged with sending a severed cow's head to a Montgomery County man earlier this year. The victim started to receive a series of threats through mail and email from May through September of this year. Township police and the Montgomery County Computer Crimes Unit connected the threats from the victim's home and workplace to Fife. A week after he was arrested, investigators received a report that the victim received a UPS package at his home containing, quote, a large, bloodied, severed cow's head. Page five. A renowned rock climber known for his expertise and who scaled peaks around the world fell 500 feet to his death in Yosemite National Park, a spokeswoman said Tuesday. Page six. Authorities are trying to figure out how a worker at a sewage plant in Brown County died on the job. This is the second such story we've had from Cincinnati, by the way. The work log at the Georgetown plant showed the 24-year-old Bob Kramer went to check an area of the facility early Monday but never returned. Crews found his body around 1 a.m. Tuesday at the bottom of a 600,000-gallon sewage container. They said it probably killed him instantly. Page 7. Ormond Beach police said a 70-year-old man said he just, quote, snapped, end quote, and attacked his wife with a machete. The man's 61-year-old wife was rushed to the hospital with severe lacerations to the head. Surprisingly, the woman's husband sounded very calm as he described what he did in a call to the 911 dispatcher. Quote, my wife and I just had a fight. She won't come out of her room, end quote, Arthur Jones said in his 911 call. What type of weapon, the dispatcher asked Jones. Quote, a machete, he replied. Did you hit her with it, the dispatcher asked. Quote, yes, a whole bunch of times, end quote, he said. According to the police report, the inside of the house was found, quote, covered in blood. Page 8. Authorities in Idaho said some teenagers after a Halloween scare got a lot more fright than they bargained for. According to Kootenai County, Idaho sheriff detectives, the group had been at a Halloween party in Coeur d'Alene Friday night when they decided to go, quote, ding-dong ditching, end quote, which means ringing doorbells and running away. While doing that, they noticed a house under construction. They thought it would be scary inside, so in they went. When the teens entered the home, they saw what looked like bags hanging from the rafters in the unfinished basement. They shot some BB guns and threw chunks of lumber at the bag, according to the sheriff's department. One teen told investigators that when his BB hit the object, it sounded like a coat or a pair of pants being hit. Then they left and came back with a flashlight to discover it was the badly decomposed body of a man hanging from the rafters. Police estimate the corpse had been hanging there for at least a week. And finally, a police encounter with a naked man near the El Cerrito BART station, which is in the Bay Area, turned into an arrest on suspicion of carrying a concealed weapon Thursday. Passers-by called officers about 7:50 a.m. to report that a naked man was lying on a tree stump behind the greenway path, exposing himself and engaging in an act of self-love. Police saw 33-year-old John Sheehan and arrested him on suspicion of indecent exposure. Officers led Sheehan to the nearest street. Before putting him in the back of the car, Sergeant Paul Keefe asked him if he had anything on him that they should know about. Unsure about what to say, Sheehan eventually replied that, quote, he had hidden a screwdriver in what police referred to as a private opening on his body. Police called for a fire engine. Firefighters quickly decided that an emergency room would be better equipped to deal with the situation. Mindful that a 6-inch metal screwdriver wrapped in black electrical tape could be used as a weapon, they kept their weapons trained on the 33-year-old as it was removed from his private area. There you go. News that hurts. Come back around the corner with Jim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere.